the same time a humiliation, for I had to admit that my consultant, who was not disconcerted by the absence of amnesis, had made a correct observation. I made up my mind to tell him about it when I saw him again, and to say to him that he had been in the right and I in the wrong. This is just what I do in the dream. But what sort of a wish is supposed to be fulfilled if I acknowledge that I am in the wrong? This is exactly my wish. I wish to be in the wrong with my apprehensions, that is to say, I wish that my wife, whose fears I have appropriated in the dream thoughts, may remain in the wrong. The subject to which the matter of being in the right or in the wrong is related in the dream is not too far distant from what is really interesting to the dream thoughts. It is the same pair of alternatives of either organic or functional impairment through a woman, more properly through the sexual life, of either tabetic paralysis or a neurosis, with which the manner of LaSalle's ruin is more or less loosely connected. In this well-joined dream, which, however, is quite transparent with the help of careful analysis, Professor N. plays a part not merely on account of this analogy and of my wish to remain in the wrong, or on account of the associated references to Breslau and to the family of our friend who is married there, but also on account of the following little occurrence which was connected with our consultation. After he had attended to our medical task by giving the above-mentioned suggestion, his interest was directed to personal matters. How many children have you now? 6. A gesture of respect and reflection. Girls, boys? 3 of each. They are my pride and my treasure. Well, there is no difficulty about the girls, but the boys give trouble later on in their education. I replied that until now they had been very tractable. This second diagnosis concerning the future of my boys, of course, pleased me as little as the one he had made earlier, namely that my patient had only a neurosis. These two impressions, then, are bound together by contiguity, by being successively received. And if I incorporate the story of the neurosis into the dream, I substitute it for the conversation upon education, which shows itself to be even more closely connected with dream thoughts, owing to the fact that it has such an intimate bearing upon the subsequently expressed concerns of my wife. Thus, even my fear that N. may turn out to be right in his remarks on the educational difficulties in the case of boys is admitted into the dream content, in that it is concealed behind the representation of my wish that I may be wrong in such apprehensions. The same fancy serves without change to represent both conflicting alternatives. The verbal compositions of the dream are very similar to those which are known to occur in paranoia, but which are also found in hysteria and in compulsive ideas. The linguistic habits of children, who at certain periods actually treat words as objects and invent new languages and artificial syntaxes, are in this case the common source for the dream as well as for psychoneuroses. When speeches occur in the dream, which are expressly distinguished from thoughts as such, it is an invariable rule that the dream speech has originated from a remembered speech in the dream material. Either the wording has been preserved in its integrity, or it has been slightly changed in the course of expression. Frequently, the dream speech is pieced together from various recollections of speeches, while the wording has remained the same and the meaning has possibly been changed so as to have two or more significations. Not infrequently, the dream speech serves merely as an allusion to an incident at which the recollected speech occurred. B. The work of displacement. Another sort of relation, which is no less significant, must have come to our notice while we were collecting examples of dream condensation. We have seen that those elements which obtrude themselves in the dream content as its essential components play a part in the dream thoughts which is by no means the same. As a correlative to this, the converse of this thesis is also true. That which is clearly the essential thing in the dream thoughts need not be represented in the dream at all. The dream, as it were, is eccentric. Its contents are grouped about other elements than the dream thoughts as a central point. Thus, for example, in the dream about the botanical monograph, the central point of the dream content is apparently the element botanical. In the dream thoughts we are concerned with the complications and conflicts which result from services rendered among colleagues which put them under obligations to one another, subsequently with a reproach that I am in the habit of sacrificing too much to my hobbies, and the element botanical would in no case find a place in this nucleus of the dream thoughts if it were not loosely connected with it by an antithesis, for botany was never among my favourite studies. In the Sappho dream of my patient, the ascending and descending, being upstairs and down, is made the central point. The dream, however, is concerned with the danger of sexual relations with persons of low degree, so that only one of the elements of the dream thoughts seems to have been taken over into the dream content, albeit with unseemly elaboration. Similarly, in the dream about June Bugs, whose subject is the relation of sexuality to cruelty, the factor of cruelty has indeed reappeared, but in a different connection and without the mention of the sexual, that is to say, it has been torn from its context and transformed into something strange. Again, in the dream about my uncle, the blonde beard, which seems to be its central point, appears to have no rational connection with the wishes for greatness which we have recognized as the nucleus of the dream thoughts. It is only to be expected if such dreams give a displaced impression. In complete contrast to these examples, the dream of Irma's injection shows that individual elements can claim the same place in the formation of dreams which they occupy in the dream thoughts. The recognition of these new and entirely variable relations between the dream thoughts and the dream content is at first likely to excite our astonishment. If we find in a psychic process of normal life that an idea has been culled from among a number of others and has acquired particular vividness in our consciousness, we are in the habit of regarding this result as a proof that the victorious idea is endowed with a peculiarly high degree of psychic value, a certain degree of interest. We now discover that this value of the individual elements in the dream thoughts is not preserved in the formation of the dream, or does not come into consideration. For there is no doubt as to the elements of the dream thoughts which are of the highest value. Our judgment tells us immediately. In the formation of dreams, those elements which are emphasized with intense interest may be treated as though they were inferior, and other elements are put in their place which certainly were inferior in the dream thoughts. We are at first given the impression that the psychic intensity of the individual ideas does not come into consideration at all for the selection made by the dream, but only their greater or smaller multiplicity of determination. Not what is important in the dream thoughts gets into the dream, but what is contained in them several times over, one might be inclined to think. But our understanding of the formation of dreams is not much furthered by this assumption, for at the outset it will be impossible to believe that the two factors of manifold determination and of integral value do not tend in the same direction in the influence they exert on the selection made by the dream. Those ideas in the dream thoughts which are most